Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're going to read a couple of verses there. We're going to be bouncing around in Scripture this morning. Before we get started into our Sunday school lesson, let me just challenge you. I know sometimes when we start getting close to a break, it's easy to just get distracted and lock in on that break and sort of use anything that... Anything that's a challenge before we go on break is just kind of a, you know, we throw it to the wind sometimes. Say, hell, hey, break is coming. So, you know, we as long as I hold out till then. Hey, let me challenge you. Don't do that with your schoolwork, especially this last week of school. Don't let it get away from you. No doubt some of you will have some tests, be challenged academically. I know you've got, most of you here at Temple will have some when you get back from Christmas break. But dig in, all right? Don't let mediocrity grab a hold of you this week. Stay focused. Try to fight the temptation to let your mind wander towards Christmas break too early, okay? Hey, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read a couple of verses here. These are great verses, great reminders to us. We're going to sort of have a... somewhat of a Christmas theme this morning, and we'll get there in just a second, but I want to use these verses as a launch pad. Notice what these verses say. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says this, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And then this, "that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." How many of you are very familiar with those verses before? Okay, you've heard them again and again. But listen, don't allow the truth of those verses and what the Scriptures mean to us to cloud the power behind these words here. Once more, look at it. All Scripture, given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God certainly helps us live this life. It's the roadmap for Christian living. It applies to every aspect of our lives, and we should be grateful that we have it. That being said, I'd like to draw your attention here to just a certain illustration as we consider the birth of our Lord Jesus. I want you just for a second to imagine with me, okay, that maybe this coming week you sat down and you picked up a newspaper and read an article. Now, how many of you have ever picked up a newspaper physically and read an article in a newspaper? Raise your hands. Okay, all right. Good, good. Those of you who haven't, you're missing out, let me tell you. Okay, nothing like something to hold in your hands and feel it. Okay, all right, too much. All right, anyway, let's say that you read an article, and the article discussed in great detail the need for a great leader of the people, a leader who maybe perhaps could unify all people groups. And let's say that the article went on to describe in that great detail how and where this individual would be born, how they would live, and certain tasks that they would accomplish. Then imagine having read that article, after a period of years, you now see all of that, the truth of that article, come out in a certain individual. That would be amazing. If that happened, and as you grew up and your mind went back to, wow, 30 years ago, I remember an article. And it told about a man that was going to unite people and was going to be a great leader, and even down to the minute details. I don't know about you, but after having that knowledge and seeing it come to fruition, I would want to find out where that writer was today, and I'd like to find out what else he had to say. I mean, you know, well, if this guy can predict the future and detail it so clearly, I mean, what other answers, you know, to my life could he give me? And certainly that would be the heart's cry of every single person in here. We'd be very attentive to that individual. And the thing that I want to point out this morning is this, is sometimes there have been people who have struggled, and maybe we have even asked the question, when Jesus arrived on the scene, and for the people that met him, was there any type of expectation in their mind or any type of knowledge when they met him and came in contact with him and saw the miracles that he did that linked the situation and meeting him to the Old Testament? I wonder how many of people would have, when Jesus came upon the scene, would have instantly saw or thought back to Old Testament truths that were rooted in the prophets and the Old Testament that would have in their mind solidified the truth that Jesus was God and that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. You know, sometimes we have the idea that when Jesus dealt with people, all of them came from the idea of having no knowledge of him whatsoever. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it was only because Jesus reached down and healed the blind man, and then he believed because at that moment he had, you know, sight. But the question that I want to put in your mind is this, is that how much prior knowledge was there of the specifics of what Jesus would do? And I want to look at some Old Testament scriptures this morning, and I want us to acknowledge some of these things as we can piece them together with what the gospel says, and maybe some knowledge that would have been in mind for those who knew the Old Testament scriptures. So we're going to turn to a bunch of different passages this morning, so I hope that you do have your Bible, and I hope that you'll stay engaged with this, because I think some of these things are just strictly fascinating. But notice with me, go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I want you to notice an account here that it's going to be familiar to all of us. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and I'd like somebody to read Matthew 14, verse 20 through 25 here. 22 through 25. Matthew 14, 22 through 25. Who could read that for me this morning? Okay, Lexi, let's go with you. There'll be more opportunity for all of us to do some reading this morning, so please just stay engaged with me here. Matthew 14, 22 through 25. Lexi, if you'd read that for us. Okay, so out of the verses that she just read, what is most fascinating about that? Those verses right there. What is the most fascinating thing about what those verses said? Yes. Yeah. Jesus is walking on the water, okay? So he's doing an incredible feat here. The disciples are able to witness this themselves. And it's neat to me that the scripture ties all of these things together. I want you to listen to the truth of Job chapter 9 in verse 8. Now, there's a lot of different passages, and there's so many different things that we can turn to, and we're not going to list all of them today. But notice this specifically in regards to Jesus' actions of walking on the water. Notice what the Bible says in Job 9 in verse 8. It says this, "...which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waters," or the waves of the sea. Psalm 104, verse 2 through 3, "...who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds in his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." You know, I wonder in my mind if any of the disciples at this point where they're seeing Jesus walk upon the water, if any of them had any of the knowledge of Job, and to look back and to say, wow, there's a passage of Scripture where it literally says God is walking upon the waves of the sea. Now, some people may say, well, that's just coincidental. But I'll tell you, as you look and study through the Word of God, there are way too many instances like this to just say that, wow, that's a coincidence. But it's interesting. It's interesting. I wonder if there's any of the disciples who would have looked back and thought, hey, you know what? Hey, wow. Jesus, it was linked directly to Job, I wonder. I think that some of them probably had a knowledge of the fact that the Son of God, God was capable of walking on water. Notice with me John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Everybody go there. I want you to see these verses. These are so neat. John chapter 16, when the Son of God appeared, and he was being professed as such, for people who knew the Word of God, for people who knew the Old Testament Scriptures, what would they have been looking for? What signs or what actions by the Lord Jesus would have been in their mind? What things that they understood about the Old Testament would maybe signs and things that they would have been looking to see in the Lord Jesus and his actions and such? John chapter 16, let's look at verse 7 through 11 here. John chapter 16, 7 through 11. Who could read that for me? Bennett, would you read that, sir? Okay, all right. So these verses that were just mentioned, Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about specific subject. What is he talking about here? What's the overall encompassing idea? Yes, Mimi. Say again. I think that's in there, but the overall... Yes, Matt? The coming of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to send a comforter to you that will comfort you, will minister to your heart. And I wonder if any of the disciples, as they're hearing this, and of course we know they doubted, and of course they knew that there was a process of time that it took for things to set in. But again, remember that these people up to this point had access to the Word of God, or at least there was a place that they could go to read the Old Testament Scripture. So we go to Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. Listen to what the Bible says. And I will give them one heart and will put in them a new spirit, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give them. A new spirit will I put within them. Again, boy, I wonder if when Jesus was talking about the giving of his spirit, and of course, Jesus did a whole lot more speaking outside of what we know in the scriptures. What did the Gospel of John say? He said that there was the Word of God, or the world could not contain all of the things that Jesus did in this life when he was here on earth. And certainly he could have talked to other people about the Spirit of God. But I wonder if for those people who were well acquainted with the Old Testament Scripture, if in their mind, when Jesus began talking about putting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in giving the Holy Spirit, I wonder if in their mind they thought, wow, hey, the Old Testament, it talks specifically about an individual who would give the Holy Spirit to man. It's a wonderful thing to look back and be able to see some of these truths. But number one, we've seen that there was a prior knowledge that God could walk on water. Number two, there was an understanding that the Holy Spirit would be given. Number three, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is a classic Christmas story passage. Everybody would turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Gospels, Luke chapter 1. And once you find it there, if you could turn your eyes to verse 47. Who could read that this morning? Verse 47. Anybody? Brother Matt's ready. But let's see. Micah, if you'd read that, sir. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Okay, this is Mary speaking here, and she talks about God and the idea of a Savior. And, you know, that's not a concept that is foreign to the Old Testament. In fact, let's see here. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, hath sent to bind up the broken hearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and opening of the persons to them that are bound." There was a knowledge of this idea of a Savior and deliverance from sin. And I think it's interesting. Sometimes we wonder, how much did Mary know? Did she know this? Did she know that? Well, she had an understanding of what a Savior meant. And she had an understanding that there would be deliverance of sin. And she had an understanding that that would be in the form of her Son, or rather, the Lord Jesus. And so we see that there was a knowledge of the deliverance from sin. Turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. If you were in John 16, you can get to John chapter 9 pretty quickly. John chapter 9, we're looking at verses 1 through 7 here, a little bit lengthier passage. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Let's see, who can read that for me? All right, Sophie, and if you could read that loud and clear so everybody in the room can hear these verses. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Let's hear our next topic here. Go ahead, Sophie. And came seeing. Yes, so this is the account of the blind man, right? Okay, so here we have the actions of Jesus. He's dealing with this blind man. Would there have been anything in Scripture that could have alluded to this moment and how the Lord having the power, the Son of God, to make the blind to see? And I believe that the answer to that question is yes. In fact, we can look back to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 18. The Bible says this, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." I wonder this morning if when Jesus healed the blind man, if there were some men that were standing around who knew the truth of the Old Testament scriptures and who immediately went back to, hey, the Lord has the power to heal the blind. And wow, I wonder if in that miraculous moment, some people were brought back to the Word of God and their knowledge of it. Would have been a tremendous thing to be able to witness for sure. But we see that there was a knowledge of God's ability to walk on water. We see that they would have understood the giving of the Holy Spirit. There was a knowledge of deliverance from sin. Number four, there was a knowledge that He, Christ, could allow the blind to see. Number five, go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I hope that everybody will work to stay engaged this morning. This is some classic Bible study here, and I hope that you do some of this stuff on your own as you ask questions about the Word of God and about Scriptures. It's always good to keep asking questions. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look at a few verses here, 35 through 39. Mark 4, 35 through 39. Who can read that this morning? Who can read that? Yes, Andrew, if you'd pick this up for us. Mark 4, 35 through 39. All right, so according to this passage of Scripture, what's the amazing feat that happens here? What is done that is just strictly amazing or should be jump out to all of us here? Yes, Ethan. Say again. He absolutely. Okay, so well, is there any possibility that this could have been mentioned in the Old Testament? This seemingly random action by the Lord Jesus at this specific time, is it possible that somewhere in the Old Testament scriptures something like this could have been mentioned? And the answer is, I believe, yes. Psalm 107 and verse 29 says this, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." Some amazing things that we can see from the life of Jesus. See the connections to the Old Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. I want you to notice this. And this is sort of in connection with one that we talked about a little previously in regards to maybe Mary's knowledge of the baby, Jesus. But we can see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Who can read that for me? Luke 1, verse 35. Someone who hasn't read yet. Allison, would you read that loud and clear for us? Luke chapter... Okay, the Son of God. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Who can read that this morning? Okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
"But while he thought on these things, he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Yes, again. Okay, so we have the account here of Mary. We have the account of the angel visiting Mary. We have the account of Joseph being visited in a dream by an angel. And again, we have the Lord giving the same message to both Mary and Joseph, in that their son was in fact going to be the Son of God directly from heaven. So there was a knowledge that he was in fact from heaven. And we can see that certainly in the Old Testament passages. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice in closing, let's go to the seventh thing here quickly that we can see. And I've got others, but I want to keep this to just a one Sunday school lesson thing. We'll be doing some other things later, but let's do this one here. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I've noticed, let's see, verses 7 and 8. 7 through 9. Let's go 7 through 9. John chapter 5, 7 through 9. Let's see who can read that for us. Preferably someone who hasn't read yet. Okay, can you read back there? Thank you. Yes, please. John 5, 7 through 9. Oh, no, that's good. That's good. We get the idea of what's happening here, okay? The Lord heals who? He heals the lame man here, okay? And I love this because, again, we go back to the Old Testament scriptures and we see in Isaiah. We see Isaiah prophesying of the Son of God. He says this in that day. He says, verse 35 and verse 6, he says, "Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing." And so forth and so on, okay? So again, the overall encompassing idea that I'm trying to convey in regards to this is when Jesus appeared on the scene, for those who had an understanding of the Old Testament, seeing the Lord Jesus do even some of the most common of things or random of miracles would have been a point that would have helped breed confidence in the heart of the people of that day. Certainly seeing that miracle take place, standing there, yes, but having an understanding that years and years and years prior, according to Old Testament scripture, these things were foretold would be an